You had the favor of God, and I want to activate the favor of God on you. Hallelujah. What each of these people, it released something not only to them, but to the generations that followed. So when I was praying about this, the scripture just jumped out at me. Psalm 102, verse 13. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. And this is the time for the favor of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to, this is not just a teaching, it's not just for your head, but it's a prophetic word to you that the time of the favor of God has come. And so for each of you, there's going to be something in here. So listen carefully. And the lady there in the second row with the brown, was it purple? No, this one right here. Is it purple or brown?
It's purple.
Purple. the Lord showed me your face on the when I was on the plane coming here. And one of the things we're going to be talking about is the effect that the favor on our lives has on other people. And the Lord wanted to tell you that God is going to supernaturally gift you with wisdom, the supernatural gift of wisdom. We have the gift of tongues and prophecy and all of that, but God wants to give you the gift of wisdom, and it's going to impact family members. And you're going to have, there's some kind of crisis or person in your family that is, I think it's your family, but you're going to come across a family crisis, and you're going to speak wisdom prophetically into that situation. Hallelujah. And you don't have to stress about it. Just wait on the Lord. And when we wait on the Lord, see, we as Westerners, we come at everything from a Western mindset. We want to come at everything with our brain. We want to work it out and think about it. And you're the kind of person that does that. You've got all your ducks in a row. And God is going to disrupt your world in a moment. But it's not for bad, it's for good. And so when we wait on the Lord, he drops things into us. That's what the light does. That's what sound does. It bypasses your brain and touches your spirit. Yeah. And so your spirit knows things that your mind doesn't know. And so when you've been in a session like this today, where you're just waiting on the Lord, you know things that your brain doesn't know yet. So your brain is going to have to catch up with your spirit. But your spirit knows things, but when you're in the presence of the Lord, you start to know things. And you'll go away from the meeting tonight and you'll say, I know something. And your friend will say, well, what do you know? And you say, I don't know. I don't know what I know, but you know something. Hallelujah. So that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to know things, and when the right time comes, you're going to speak. So this is you don't need to be afraid of this. This is not something bad. It's something good, and God wants to. For some reason, wanted to tell you, hallelujah. So the favor of God. One of the meanings of the word favor is light. So that was another thing. Here we are. We're going to receive the light, and that's what. It's not just. It's turning on the light. It's a spiritual light that God wants to lighten us with. Hallelujah. So I'm going to tell you the seven people. I'm going to try and go fast because I'm looking at the time and I want you to get good rest or whatever. For me right now, it's 11:20 on the East Coast. I live in South Carolina. So when favor rests on these people that we're going to see, you're going to see doors open that others can't open. Opportunities arise without striving. And protection and promotion come even in adversity. Provision flows for divine purposes and influence increases for God's glory, and the sound and creativity of heaven flow into the earth through us. So many of you are creative people, whether it's with words or with paints or with music or with dance or whatever, with cooking. But creativity is going to flow from heaven into the earth through us. Hallelujah. So these seven found favor with God. And you can write in your notebook, that you've got that beautiful little notebook, or you can write on this paper. But favor accompanies divine assignments. Each of these had a divine assignment. You have a divine assignment. So it's not just for the biblical times, it's for us. And there's many people in the Bible that were favored, but these seven, it says that they were favored with God, favored them. God favored them. Hallelujah. So that's why I picked these ones. And the first one there on your paper is Noah. It says, Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. His name means rest, by the way, Noah's name. That's in Genesis 6, verse 8. In Genesis 6, verse 9, it says, the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Whenever you find a verse in the Bible that has one word in it three times, that's a very special verse on that subject. And this is a special verse about generations. This man, Noah's name is mentioned three times. But God took one man out of a generation. This is the first time the word generations is used in the Bible. Did you know the last time generations is used, it says that you're a chosen generation. So back then, God took one man out of a generation. For us, he's taking a whole generation to affect the world. He took one man to touch the world for all time. And yet he's going to take a whole generation to affect the world, and that's us. Hallelujah. If you have trouble with my accent, just ask me or Bobby will translate for you. But God chose him to preserve a generation in judgment, and that's he's taking this generation. There's probably never been such wickedness with all the babies that are murdered and just the stuff. So he's causing our generation, taking a whole generation. Hallelujah. Because God thinks in generations. But you know the story of Noah. God told him to build the ark. Did you know that it took him like 120 years to prepare and preach and build the ark? Isn't that incredible? He was 600 years old when he started building that thing. And he lived to be 950. How about that, Peggy? We could keep on going. 950 years old. Hallelujah. But when he got out of the ark, he worshipped. Each one of these people are worshippers. And when Noah got out of the ark, he worshipped, and God could smell his worship. And so tomorrow, I'm going to be talking about the fragrances of God, the fragrances of the King, and how we become that fragrance and we perfume the garments of the King when you worship. So that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Because God loves the smell of your worship, not just the sound of it. He loves the smell of your worship. Hallelujah. So the thing about Noah was he was a dreamer. These first two, Jacob, Joseph, the next one, he was a dreamer too. And dreamers are people who see things that are not there. And God wants to restore the dreamers today. You know, one of my prayers for you, one of the things that he wants to speak into your heart and restore as we talk about favor is dreams. I just pray that tonight many of you will have prophetic dreams. But not only, we don't have just have prophetic dreams, but Joseph, he began to interpret dreams, that we would be interpreters of dreams. I've got friends who go to those hippie retreats. You probably have a lot of those here in Oregon. Hippie retreats out in the woods, you know, and the dancing fairies and all of that. But they go and they set up a tent for dream interpretation and tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. So they're there as believers to interpret dreams. So we need, in the church, we need dream-driven leaders, not agenda-driven leaders. And God wants you to be raised up to be dream-driven. Hallelujah. Sometimes like Noah and like Joseph, you have brothers who try and talk you out of it. But the Pharisees, they hate dreamers. But God loves dreamers. But the Pharisees are boring and predictable. But God wants dreamers today, people who dream with God. So there's another verse, and this describes Noah, and it describes you who are going to be dreamers. Hallelujah. And it's found in Isaiah 32, verse 8. The NIV says, the noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. How many times is the word noble in that verse? Three times. A noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. Some of your Bibles will say a generous man. It also means generous. But I like the word noble. I like the concept of nobility, that God is lifting us into nobility. In the British royal system, you're born into the nobility. We're born into nobility. Hallelujah. We are by royal birth. We are noble women. Hallelujah. And there's a few men here. They can be noble too. But a noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. And that's what Noah did. He was a noble man, and he had noble plans. And those plans sustained him for those 120 years that he was preparing. 120 years, by the way, is three generations. For three generations of his family, he's preparing and getting scoffed and laughed at. Nobody came. Nobody came except his family. But noble plans, they're plans that are inspired by God. And God wants to cause you to dream. You young people, you young women, God wants you to dream. He wants to give you noble plans. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can dream something and know that something's coming, and you don't even know what you know. When I got born again, into a Presbyterian family. I'd never heard about being born again. They didn't believe in that in my church. And I used to have to leave home every morning and bike to school. I was 14 years old. And I had to bike to school, and I stopped off at the Anglican church because it was the only church that was open. And I used to go in there to pray, because if I prayed at home, I would be beaten. So I would stop at the Anglican church, and there was a stained glass window that says, "Go into all the world." I didn't even know what that meant, but I knew I was going to go into all the world. I had a dream. I didn't know how it could be. I was just a little tiny rural community, just a farm girl. Just a tiny little town and way down the bottom of the world in New Zealand. And I was going to go into the world. We used to sing, we used to march into class every day when I was in elementary school to John Philip Sousa songs. Ba 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 ba. Oh, I knew I was going to be an American. Hallelujah. So God wants to release prophetic dreams, wants to make you a dreamer. Noble plans. They're inspired by God. They give glory to God. They're plans that build the kingdom. They're plans that build blessing and nobility and dignity into others. That's what your noble plan does. It builds blessing and dignity and nobility into other people. It's plans that are bigger than your ability to make them happen. Noah couldn't have predicted. He'd never seen a boat as big as the boat he built. How could he get all the animals to come in there? The plan was bigger than he could make happen. And so when the favor of God comes on you, you get to do things that are the impossible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you know that in the Old Testament we learn nothing's impossible for God? But in the New Testament, the first time the word impossible is found is in Matthew. And Jesus says that if you believe God, you can say to this mountain, "Be moved," because nothing shall be impossible for you. We know nothing's impossible for God, but Jesus said the first time impossible is mentioned in the New Testament, he says nothing is impossible for you. And you can speak to the mountain and it will be moved. Isn't that amazing? Because this world is voice activated. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Let there be. When he spoke, the voice, the the world was activated. And Jesus spoke to the wind and to the sea, and he spoke to Lazarus. Peter spoke to Tabitha. He only said two words, "Tabitha, arise," and death flew away. Tabitha, arise, and death flew away. What an incredible thing. Hallelujah. So this earth is voice activated. It's amazing. I mean, even Joshua spoke to the sun and it stood still in the sky. Imagine that, telling the sun to stand still. Ezekiel, God came to Ezekiel and he said to Ezekiel, "I want you to speak to the bones." God could have come to Ezekiel and said, "Watch me, Ezekiel. Bones, rise up." He didn't do that. He wanted his son. Same with Noah. Noah had to put action to his faith, to his dream. We have to put action to our faith. And so God whispered to Ezekiel. He must have whispered, otherwise the bones would have heard him telling Ezekiel what to say. He told Ezekiel exactly what to say to the bones. And the bones didn't rise up when God said it. The bones rose up when Ezekiel said it. Because the earth is voice activated. And so then, when the bones came up, they didn't have any breath in them. So God came back to Ezekiel and he said, "I want you to prophesy to the wind." Who's the wind? Holy Spirit. So God is telling Ezekiel to prophesy to God and command God. We think, well, God, if you can hear me, maybe you hear Peggy, but surely you don't hear me because I'm just me, and if you want to, can you blow upon these bones? No. He said, "Come from the four corners of the earth and blow upon these bones." He called to the Holy Spirit and prophesied and commanded the Holy Spirit to come and blow upon the bones. Hallelujah. And when he spoke, that's when the bones got life into them and they rose up and became an exceeding great army. And so for some of you, you're going to have to put voice. You have to put voice and light out of your mouth into your dream. Hallelujah. So there you go. Your noble plans are filled with excellence. They're filled with integrity. And they cause you to complete what you start. Hallelujah. So you've got there on your paper the things that Noah released. And today I speak over you, hallelujah, that a release of prophetic dreams, visions and noble plans to impact your generation, to open the way for the next generation, faith for the process to bring your vision to pass, seeds to bring in the new day. And you give us the means to bring salvation to your family members. How many of you got unsaved family members? I do. So Noah, his dream, the favor that was upon his life that activated dreams and this noble plan caused that plan to save his family. So your family might not be saved, but God will give you a noble plan, hallelujah, to bring them in, hallelujah, praise God. Okay, the second one, we're going to go a little faster, hopefully. Joseph, God's favor released his prosperity, and everybody around Joseph prospered. So the favor on Joseph's life didn't just touch him, it touched everybody around him, hallelujah. And it's incredible to read about Joseph. It says in Genesis 37, 1 to 8, it says he had favor in his father's house. So he started off being favored in his father's house, and that got him into trouble with his brothers. So even sometimes your brothers, they said even a death sentence on Joseph wasn't enough to stop the dream that God gave. Hallelujah. Was it enough to stop the destiny? Even a death sentence. Then he got sold to this officer, Potiphar, and he was working in Potiphar's house, and he had favor there. chapter 39 of Genesis says that Potiphar saw him, but the Lord was with Joseph. This is Genesis 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it says that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So the Lord blessed an unbeliever for the sake of this favored man, Joseph. Hallelujah. I just speak over all of your lives right now that whoever you work for, whether you're in a lawyer's office or you teach in school, whether you are doctors or whether you're secretaries, whatever you do, that God will favor you and cause his blessing to be upon all those around you. God, listen to the words here. It says that God, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was in all that he had in the house and in the field. He prospered the Egyptian. He prospered the unbeliever. Hallelujah. And so I prophesy over that, each one of you. And then what happened is the Egyptian's wife, remember, she tried to seduce him, and Joseph would have nothing of it, so she accused him of raping her, so he got thrown into prison. So now he's in the prison. After all that he's done, he's in prison. But listen to this, in Genesis 39:21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, whatever they did there. It was his doing. And the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So God, because of the favor on Joseph, prospered everybody in the prison. Then he had dreams. They had dreams. So he got out of prison because he interpreted the dreams. So we jump forward, and he ends up with Pharaoh. Genesis 41, 38 to 44. Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? This is what the Pharaoh is saying about the favored one, Joseph. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there was no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And the Pharaoh said, Joseph, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. What an incredible thing. A man who had a dream, was thrown into the pit, ended up in the officer's house, was thrown into prison. Now he's in Pharaoh, with Pharaoh. He was favored all along the way, and yet he could have just sat in that prison and cried. But he went from being an unwise dreamer to being an interpreter of prophetic dreams. God's favor isn't always comfortable. It can disrupt the ordinary. God's favor is not always comfortable. It will disrupt the ordinary in your life, because God is wanting to stir you out of the ordinary. You are not to be ordinary. You're to be dreamers. You're to be the favored ones. You're to be a prophetic company. Hallelujah. We are women of fire, women of the word. Hallelujah. So God's favor set these apart, Noah and Joseph, set them apart. Set these apart, Noah and Joseph, set them apart. The favor of God carries responsibility. So you've got to grow up. You've got to put your big girl pants on. Yeah. And you've got to grow up. We've got to walk like women of God. Yeah. We've got to quit the nonsense, because it's time for us to affect our generation. Hallelujah. So, on your paper, God's favor releases success. So we speak that over you. At the end, I'm wanting to leave time so that we can pray for you. But some of you are going to be getting the Noah prayer. Some of you, God will show you while I'm talking. You're to be the Joseph prayer, because God wants to release success. Some of you will want to have all of these. Whatever you put your hand to will prosper. I'll take any of that. It releases prosperity for those that you work for, your bosses. Hallelujah. God's, and if you own your own business, how many of you own your own business? Work for, put your hand up high. Don't just slip it up there, okay? Look at all these beautiful women. Hallelujah. Wonderful dreams. Praise God. God wants to favor your businesses and prosper you. If God's favor releases grace to stand in integrity in the time of temptation. That's what God's favor did for Joseph when he was tempted. We don't have to go into all that sexual stuff. God's favor will keep you. God's favor releases authority into unusual places and situations. His favor gives you a prophetic anointing to interpret dreams and fills you with the Spirit in great measure. His favor will fill you with wisdom and knowledge and bring you before city and national leaders. Hallelujah. I truly believe that some of you are destined to be leaders in your city, leaders in your state, leaders in this nation. Hallelujah. Why not? Why not? So you need to set your sights on that. We're not trying to take over. We're just trying to take over. Right? Just bring the kingdom. We are representatives of the king and the kingdom, and we insert the kingdom into our nation. We are leaders of the kingdom. Hallelujah. The next one is Moses. God's favor released the glory through Moses. He was a man who, God told Moses, I'm going to take you to the promised land, but I'm not going to go with you because you're all so wicked. I'm not going to go with you. I'll send an angel. If we had an angel going with us, people would follow us everywhere. But Moses said, no. He says, I'm not moving until you bring your presence. I want your presence. Hallelujah. And God says, okay, I'll go with you. Okay. So you'd think that would be the end of the discussion. This is all chapter 32 of Exodus. You'd think that was the end of the discussion. God said he would go. And then Moses prayed the most dangerous prayer in the Bible. He said, I want to see your glory. And that's dangerous because God says, no one can see my face and stay alive. And so he put him into the cleft of the rock. Who's the rock? Christ. He hid him in Christ. He hid him in Christ. For you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. He hid Moses in the cleft of our rock, was split and broken, wounded for our transgressions. Hallelujah. And God put his hand over the hole and he walked past and he took his hand off and Moses could look out and see the back of God. And he fell on his face and worshiped. We don't know how long he was there, but God spoke his name. Then he turned around and he covered the hole again and he walked past and Moses saw the back of God. And Moses was changed. His shoes didn't age. His clothes didn't age. He had the light of the glory of God on his face. He wasn't even born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet those moments with God, the glory, it says it shone from his face. It means beams of light are coming out of his face. Imagine going to the restaurant after being at this conference and the people going, this is people, they're from that funny church up on the hill and their faces are shining. That's what the people did. Their faces were shining. We are the shining ones. We're the favored ones. And the glory of God that comes on you is the favor of God. And so God wants to fill you with glory and the world with you. That scripture that's been with me my whole life, the cry of my heart, let the glory of the Lord cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How can that possibly be? And God's not going to just rain some silvery glory down on the earth. He's going to fill you with glory and the world with you. The glory ones, the shining ones, the favored ones, the dream interpreters, the dreamers. Hallelujah. Here we come, the Dells. Here we come, Oregon. Here we come. And I know that some of you are in desperate and dark and difficult situations, whether it's through relationships or whether it's finances or whatever it is. Some of you are sitting there tonight and you're hearing this, and this isn't you right now. You're in the prison. You're in the dark place, but you still have the favor of God on you. And when you go from here, you're to walk out of here with your head high. Don't be ashamed of your circumstance. God's not against you. God absolutely loves you. And your success is guaranteed as a child, a favored child of God. And so tonight, God wants to touch your life. These people that I'm telling you, these seven people are ordinary people like you and I. And that's what the favor of God does. It takes you from being ordinary to being extraordinary. That's because of the favor of God, the light of God, the encounter of God, like you had tonight as you just waited in the presence of God. Maybe you didn't know anything that happened to you, but you will. It might come out in a dream, or it might come when you want to speak like you've always spoken and yet softness comes out of your mouth. Hallelujah. But here Moses, he was different from this encounter because he saw the glory. The glory of God, a great definition of the glory of God, a simple definition is it's the invasion of the reality of God into the human sphere. It's the invasion of the reality of God, whether it's His healing or whether it's His mercy. I think the greatest glory is not necessarily being raised up from the dead. The greatest glory is that I am transformed because I know who I am. The greatest glory in the universe is that you and I can know the Father, the King of the earth and all the heavens, the Maker of heaven and earth. That's the greatest glory. And so we're already basking in the greatest glory. Hallelujah. Yes, miracles are glory. Encountering God is glory. Provision is glory. But the invasion of the reality of God. And that's what Moses saw. He saw the name. He saw and heard the names of God. He saw and heard all kinds of things that transformed him. Hallelujah. So through favor, He releases glory in us and through us. Through His favor, He releases His presence in and through us. Through His favor, He makes us His friend. Moses was a friend of God. Through His favor, He will pardon your sin. There's nothing that you've done that is beyond what He can forgive. Hallelujah. Through His favor, He will release miracles, and through His favor, He will cause everyone to see His greatness. That's what happened to Moses as a result of the favor. The favor takes you to inheritance. Hallelujah. Samuel, His favor causes you to be able to hear God and God to hear you. His name, Samuel, means heard by God. That's what his name means. Hallelujah. So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Hallelujah. The Lord, His favor was on this young boy. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go so much into that, but God, through Samuel, he was a man of the double portion. God heard his voice from a young age. He gives him revelation, significant things when you are faithful in the small things. Samuel was a man of faithfulness in the small things. So women of favor, we need to determine in our hearts to be faithful. Faithful in the small things. I had an aunt one time and I was working with her, like cleaning windows or something. And you know how you just want to skip it over, get the job done? She said, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And her words torment me to this day. That I can't do anything half-heartedly. We can't do anything less than. Whatever you do, do it with excellence and favor will follow. And you do, whether it's loving your husband or being gracious to your children or forgiving a friend or whatever you do, do the very best, because that's who we are. We're women of destiny. We're women of excellence. We're women of the favor of God. Hallelujah. So he'll make you a people of the double portion. He'll give you revelation. He makes us great in significant things when we're faithful in small things. Hallelujah. And he gives us governmental authority. Yes, Samuel's the one that took Israel from tribalism to monarchy. He's the one. He's the prophet that birthed a whole different kind of government in Israel at that time. Hallelujah. All right, the next one is Job. There's a passage in Job that's been with me all my life. It's Job 10, verse 12. You have granted me life and favor, for your care or your visitation has preserved my spirit. Job went through probably the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody. He lost all of his children. He lost his fortune. He lost his ability to make a fortune. He lost his health. I mean, the only one that didn't die was his wife. But everybody around him, you know the whole story of Job. It's kind of reading the book of Job. But when you read at the end, oh, I love the end of the book of Job. The last chapters, God comes to Job and he asks him 72 questions. He says, were you there when the morning stars sang together? Are you the one that told the sea how far it could go? Do you know how deep the ocean is? Are you the one that measured it? You must be, because you're talking so much. You must be the one that knows everything. He's basically saying, I did this, I did this, I did this. I put thunder into the neck of the horse and I tell the lightning where to go in the sky. I'm in control of it all. So the thing is, surely I'm in control of your life. And Job was silenced. And he bowed his head and he worshipped. And the book of Job teaches us we have to have a theology for the good times as well as the bad times. We've got good theology in the good times. Praise God, I'm going to church. But in the bad times, you need a theology for the bad times. So that you know how to be like Job. His wife said, just curse God and die. He said, naked I came into the world and naked I go. But I know my Redeemer lives. I don't know anything else. Everything else was taken away. I know my Redeemer lives. And he worshipped. Each of these were worshippers. And God came, and through the favor of God, we get to learn the lessons of the theology of darkness. Hallelujah. You know the end of Job? Job gave him 7 sons and 3 daughters. God doesn't tell us the names of the sons, but he tells us the names of the daughters. And I think that they're a picture of the last day church. But not only that, it says that they had an inheritance alongside their brothers. We have an inheritance alongside our brothers. For those of you who, women who want to be in ministry, and we've come from centuries and centuries and centuries where that was not something that could ever be, that we could be women in ministry. But you know, God's plan, God has a pre-fall plan where Adam and Eve work together alongside one another. And he wants to restore a pre-fall theology about this subject. We all know the post-fall theology of women. But God wants to restore a pre-fall theology for us so that we can walk alongside our brothers. It doesn't mean you have to rise up or take over or boss your husband or anything like that. It means that we walk together. Hallelujah. And so the three girls, I'm going to tell you their names. There's Jemima. Her name means dove, or the one that wakens the dawn. As fair as the light of the new day. She's the one that carries the light of the new day. Church of God, and this is for the guys too, but we have to be Jemima. We carry light for the new day. Hallelujah. The second one, her name is Keziah, and that's sweet fragrance. She's beautiful on the inside and the out. We have the fruit of the Spirit on the inside and the gifts of the Spirit on the outside. The fullness of God that make you beautiful inside and out. Hallelujah. This is the church. And the third one is Karin Hapuk. And that her name means fire in the eyes, a ray of light. And so here we are, those that wake in the dawn. We wake in the dawn in prayer. We are prophetic. We call our generation to the new day. And we have got filled with the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And we have the fire of God, the light of God coming out of our faces. We're fierce. We are fierce. Women of favor are a fierce woman. The church who is favored is fierce. Because she has the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. She wakens the dawn. She calls the church to the new day. And there's fire and light that comes out of her eyes. The enemy needs to fear us when we walk out these doors tonight. They need to fear us. Because we are women of the new day and women with fire in our eyes. Hallelujah. You might never have been a woman with fire in your eyes. You don't have to be young. You don't have to be strong. You just have to have the favor of God and the fire will come out of your eyes. Hallelujah. You all know David, the next one. Favor released mercy and creative strategies. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go Thank you. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. In just a moment, the worship team are going to come. They're going to sing the blessing song at you. But I wanted to tell you what the blessing song means. The Lord bless you. That means Jehovah will present you with gifts. Thank you. And keep you. Keep you means that he will guard you with a hedge of protection. And make his face shine upon you. That means Jehovah will illuminate or lighten you with the wholeness of his being. Jehovah will illuminate the wholeness of his being toward you. And God will fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose. Hallelujah. And be gracious to you. He will give you comfort and sustenance. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you. It means Jehovah will lift up the wholeness of his being and look upon you, bringing everything he is to your aid and supporting you with his entire being. That's what it means. When it says that God will lift up his countenance, it means he will lift up the wholeness of his being and he will turn and look at you. And that's my prayer for each of you tonight, that God is going to do. This is what David knew. I know this prayer comes from the book of Numbers. But David was a man that knew the presence of God. And when it says that he will give you peace, it means he'll set you in place for all that you need to be whole and complete so you can walk in victory moment by moment. He wants to make you whole and complete. And that's what David did. David was made whole. He's probably one of the greatest sinners in the Bible. He was a murderer and an adulterer. And yet God made him whole and made him king. Because he was a man of favor. Hallelujah. So the favor. David was the one that he said, I want to see your face. I want to behold your beauty. He set out to seek God and to seek his favor. And he brought a whole new anointing. Hallelujah. The final one on the list is Mary. And she's the only one on the list that's a woman. But she is the only one that was highly favored. Highly favored. Just a simple girl. Just a simple girl. She was highly favored. And her favor birthed the Messiah. And affects each of these, and Mary more than them all, birthed something that affected us even to this day because of the favor of God that is on their life. And so she's on there. What an incredible thing. The word favor in the New Testament for Mary, it actually means charisma. Again, it's the fullness of the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Supernatural births. I'm just praying that God will supernaturally birth things in you because of his favor. And so we're going to have people here, Bobby, that can pray. Somebody who can be a Noah. Pray the Noah. And just you can bring your papers up and you can pray off of the paper. Somebody who's going to pray the Joseph prayers over you. Somebody that's going to pray the Moses prayers, the Samuel prayers, the David prayers, the Job, and Mary. Hallelujah. Because what happened with the favor, the only other people in the Bible now that have the favor is not only just these one people, these seven had the favor of God, but now the believers had favor. And in the book of Acts, it says they had great power, they had great grace, there was a great fear of God, there were great wonders, there was great persecution, yet there was great joy, and great multitudes believed. There's seven greats in the book of Acts. They were great. Hallelujah. The favor of the Lord made the church great. Yeah. Out of Jesus and 12 disciples, the church became great. And even in the midst of great persecution, they had great favor. It says they had great favor, and yet they were persecuted. So if we can have those seven people come.
We just need six other people for prayer.
And I'll wander around each of them. And if you need prayer for any of those, if God put those on your heart, don't leave tonight without coming. We're just standing with you and believing with you for the favor of the Lord to be activated. I'm not speaking this just because I want to share something with you. I'm speaking this because I believe in my spirit that God wants to activate and release his favor in you. Hallelujah. He wants to release his favor through you. And even tonight, if it's just a hope, come and confirm that hope in his presence. Hallelujah. Can somebody take this? Can one of you men come in and take... Oh, thank you. Can you sing that song? The Lord bless you. This is Noah down here. You're Joseph, the Joseph. Moses. Samuel. Job, David, Mary. You can join with one of these. Join up with one of those. Just start coming. Just come with your dreams. Come with your dreams tonight. Come with your dreams. And say, Father, I'm standing up for my dream. I'm a Noah. I'm a Joseph. I'm a Samuel. Hallelujah. Lord, turn his face, the fullness of his being turned to you. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. If you want to sit in your seats too and just pray through those for yourself, for your family, pray for your children. Just speak over your children in your heart. Assign them to the favor of God. Activate the favor of God for your family.